Good evening, everyone, and thank you all for coming out tonight. We're really excited to have you. My name is Rory Pinnell, and I would like to formally introduce the Bergen County Young Professionals. All right. So let's give them a round of applause. As a little bit of a background, we are a group who are looking to honor God and at the same time strive to grow in our careers. So that's kind of the focus, but we're part of the NJ Edge. And tonight, we have the honor of leading the NJ Edge Devo. So throughout the night, I hope that you get a chance to learn about our speakers and that we can kind of spark a dialogue based off of what they're talking about and that we can grow closer as a family. So tonight, everyone will be speaking on how they've been growing so far this year and what they would like to continue to grow in 2018. So without further ado, I'd like to present our first speaker, Shauna Lewin.
Well, good evening, everyone. And as Rory said, my name is Shauna Lewin, for all who don't know me yet. And I just moved like 2 months ago from the campus ministry. And I'm so excited to be here and so humbled to be up here telling you guys how I've grown so far this year and what I plan to grow on this year. And just to also encourage everyone here that we are all here to make it to heaven. That's our ultimate goal. And I hope that tonight that I can inspire you, I can encourage you in what I'm growing in. You might be growing in the same thing, or, you know, you might not, and you can encourage me as I grow. And also to hold me accountable, you know, say, hey, Shauna, how's that going? You know, how's that going growing in this area? You know, because that's what we are ultimately here for. Amen. So this year, I've definitely seen how I've grown in sharing faith, you know, and a scripture that definitely helps me is one that we all know in Matthew 28:19 that says, go and make disciples, right? And Jesus calls each and every one of us, and me included, to make disciples of all nation. And we could totally see all nation here in the metro New Jersey area, people just walking around. And for me, sharing faith as a young professional, it looks completely different than in campus. You know, I'm on campus and everyone's there. We're, you know, sharing faith together. But when I'm in young professional, I'm by myself most of the time. I'm at my job by myself. I'm in the supermarket by myself. And I have to use those opportunities. And I've seen how I've used those opportunities, you know, that God has given me just in the line checking out. Like, hey, excuse me. You know, I go to an awesome church. Would you like to come? You know, like just helping people to see that there's a God out there and they're really awesome people. Because we get so caught up in the news and what's going on that we can sometimes lose focus of the good things that do happen. So I've definitely seen that. And, you know, like, I was so privileged that, you know, a sister came up with the idea that we would go, you know, downtown Montclair on Thursday evenings and share faith. And that has been so encouraging for me because, you know, we are a group and we go with one focus and we go on Thursday nights and we just share faith. And we are praying and so hopeful of what God's going to do with all, you know, that effort and perseverance that we have. So pray for us, you know, that the people that we meet do come out and they decide to want to study the Bible one day. So that's, you know, super, super encouraging for us. And I, you know, like, something that also helps me is that I wouldn't be here if someone didn't persevere, if someone didn't step out of their comfort zone and reach out to me, you know, so that helps me to, you know, stay focused and continue growing in that area. And it's so funny because, you know, we have 5 minutes. I was like, how can I pack all this in 5 minutes and just get it out there? But I'm doing it. So and what I would like to grow in. I think this is so important. And for me, I would definitely want to continue growing in being committed to my small group. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important because you know, God gives me these people to help me to grow and be stronger as a woman of God. And I don't know if I could be in this by myself, but it's so easy for me to make excuses like, oh, I have something to do. I'm tired. I just got from work. I want to hang out with someone else, you know, and instead not make excuses and just show up because I want to feel close to them. You know, I want to feel like we're a family because we're a small family group, you know, the word family is in there. And for me, I want to definitely grow in being more vulnerable, being open and close to the people in my family group. And a scripture that helps me to, you know, stay, you know, grounded and want to grow and focus on that is one that we really know so well. It's in Acts 2, 46, 47. And it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And God added to their number daily those who were being saved. And this helps me a lot because it's like they didn't just show up and were grumpy and mean, and they had glad and sincere hearts. And that's what I want to have. I want to be close to them and be joyful and just learn about their lives and they learn about my life as well. And also the scripture in Hebrews 10 is so challenging and great. In Hebrews 10, 24, 25, it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another daily and all the more as the day is approaching. And, you know, this challenges me because it says, don't give up meeting like some are in the habit of doing. And I could be in the habit of doing that, like excusing myself or finding some excuse, but the scripture clearly says I shouldn't do that. So I want to completely encourage you guys to meet up, be close to your family group, because if we're not close to the small people, we're not going to be close to the huge group. So I hope that's encouraging for you guys, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak tonight, and I love you guys. And up next is Nick Walker.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Yeah, my name is Nick. I'm also in Bergen County Small Group. I live in New Milford. And I want to share a scripture just to start it off. It's John 9, 4 to 5. And it says, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And, you know, I know the question was, you know, what are you working on? And so mine is pretty cliche, but I literally am just trying to work on myself and work on staying positive each and every day. And what's cool with this scripture is, you know, it's saying, as long as it's day, we must do the work of him who sent me. And I think something that I've been realizing lately is that I can't help other people if I don't help myself first. And so that's definitely something that I'm working on, because I feel like sometimes, you know, I've had a lot of stuff go on in my family with people with addictions and eating disorders, and I had a bunch of people in my family die last year. So I've just been going through like a lot of stuff, and I found that I started to kind of get wrapped up in my feelings, understandably, because it's, you know, we all go through stuff and we get wrapped up in our feelings. It's very understandable, just human nature. But I realized that, you know, it's when I got too wrapped up in my feelings, it's like then I, not doing it on purpose, but then I wasn't spending time with God as I should, which then is just like a snowball effect. So that's what I've really been trying to do, just take things one day at a time. And I understand now that I really have to spend that time with God and be in his word and really talking to him wholeheartedly and pouring myself out to him, because the only way that I'm going to be able to help other people is if I'm right with him, you know, especially with a lot of people in my family, like I said, going through these things. I got so wrapped up in trying to help them out that I completely neglected myself, and then I can't really help them. And then, you know, I know we all do it, shut down, go into my room by myself, don't talk to anybody, you know. And I just realized, you know, even with the scripture, sometimes you have to take yourself out of your own feelings and, like, really, I really realized, like, okay, wow, like, when I'm negative and I'm stuck in my own ways, like, I'm in my own way, then not only am I filled with negativity and affecting myself, but I'm also affecting the people around me. who I could be helping, you know, my mom, my dad, my sister, my friends, but I'm so focused on, I'm going through such a hard time that I'm just losing sight of everything else. So that's something definitely this year that I've really just been trying to do, you know, just work on myself and get myself good with God and consume with Him so that I can be a light in the world to everybody else, you know. And also just some things, I'm just trying to take things one day at a time. I'm naturally a pessimist, so I'm trying now to not think that way and break that way of thinking and just really denying myself and trying to be positive, because it's crazy that it's actually harder to be positive sometimes than it is to be negative, because when you're negative, it just, you get comfortable and you just everything, you could just you know, I just realized that I really need to be a light to not just the world, but even the people that are close to me, and that I can have a big effect on them too. So I just have one more scripture, and it's James 1:12, and it says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. You know, and that's just an awesome scripture, because it also goes along with the other scripture that says, you know, store your treasures up in heaven, you know. And but yeah, that's what I've been working on, and I'm glad I got to share it with you guys tonight. And next up is Elise. So
all right, hello. My name is Elise Bruns, and a lot of you probably don't know me. I don't know you. So I just moved up here about a month and a half ago. I'm from Cincinnati. I was just in the campus ministry there. I graduated in April, was in the young professionals there for like a minute. It was about a month. And then I moved up here. And so it's been cool. I can get to work and to the grocery store without my GPS now. Conquered that. And if I have met you and I look at you like I don't know you, don't take it personally. I probably forgot. I've met a lot of people. And I deeply apologize. And I want to know you guys. And so we were thinking about where we was talking about growth and where God has been leading us and how we've been growing, working and growing. And I very easily thought about this big life transition that God has been leading me to. And I really thought about the concept of God leading me and going where God is leading me. Because sometimes God leads me places that I don't want to go. And so for me, it's been so much. And like she was saying, it's way more than could be shared in 5 minutes. And I'm going to try to keep it 5 minutes, and because there's a lot. But God has led me a lot of different places recently. And so that has been a physical move, moving from Cincinnati to New Jersey, or Ohio to New Jersey. It's a new state. It's a new job. It's a new stage of life. It's a new church. It's a new ministry in that church. I've never really been in Young Professionals very much. It's a new Bible talk. It's a new D group, a new discipler. That's all physical things. God has been calling out different sin in my character that I thought I had already worked on or I didn't think was there, and lo and behold, I'm still not perfect. And God has been calling me to work on those things and calling me to repent, and you really have to strive to be like Jesus. As well as God has been bringing up just memories from my childhood that I didn't want to deal with because they hurt, and they have hurt me, and they've hurt me for years. And God has been calling me recently to wrestle through those and to surrender those and to forgive. And so through all of that, I have felt, I don't even know how many emotions. I'm so bad at identifying emotions, and so this is actually quite a victory that I can name what I'm feeling. But I have felt frustrated and irritated that not everything was working out the way I thought it was going to. My furniture still isn't all at my apartment, and I really just want a kitchen table. And I didn't think that would be that hard, but it is very hard. And so as well as other things, I've been confused and fearful, like, God, why did you bring all of this at once? Or are you going to work through this? Is this going to be great in a couple months? I don't really know. Are you going to take care of me? Will you walk with me through this? Am I going to feel so alone all the time? But I've also felt excited and hopeful, and I just graduated, and I'm starting a job, and this is great. I'm ready to give. I'm ready to meet people. But I've also felt very lonely because I don't have many friends. I don't know really anybody. I know Sarah Saltos, and she's been at camp forever, so I haven't even seen her. And I do know Brielle Rupert from a youth corps from a while back. But those are it. All my friends, all my family are in Ohio. And so I felt very lonely. And so all of that big list of emotions and more, I don't even know, I have felt very overwhelmed. When taking that all in and all the pressure of everything, I just felt overwhelmed. And so kind of up to now, I found out I was going to be moving in February of this year. And so I had a couple months really to think through and to wrestle and to really get my heart right. Of like, okay, God is definitely leading me here. It's a very clear sign from God I should move. And what does my heart need to look like? Okay, I need to be submissive. What does that mean? And I highly recommend reading the book Victory to Surrender. Yeah. Victory of Surrender. It's something like that. Yeah, Victory to, I always forget the middle word. Victory something surrender. But it's a great book. It's a great book. And reading it and really learning that victory really is through surrender, even though surrender can be hard. I've learned that my life is not my own. When I was baptized, Elise died. And Christ now lives in me, and I'm Christ's ambassadors, and the whole purpose of my life is to glorify God. And so I will go wherever, do whatever, so that God can be glorified. And I've really tried hard to know that it's going to be great because it's God's plan. And even though I have all these thoughts in my head of what would be great, it's not God's plan in my head. And what is going to be great is going to be God's. And it really makes me think of Romans 8:28, which is a very common scripture. But I've never felt it probably more real than kind of now than before. And it says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And really clinging to that and thinking like, okay, this is going to be okay. So going forward, kind of to now, so I was kind of up to now, and to now I'm feeling all these things, emotions kind of out the wazoo, and nothing's really stable, and where's my kitchen table? I've learned that things of this world are just not constant. And they can change like that, and things don't go as expected, and sometimes God leads me places that, like, God, I would really rather not. I really don't want to deal with that memory. I don't really want to overcome this sin. I don't really know if you're going to work. But I've learned that those things can change, but God is what's constant, and God is what's steady, and God is the rock, and God is steadfast. And just recently, really this week, I've been learning how prayer needs to be so essential. And prayer, not just prayers of like, God, thank you for my day, or thank you for my food, and I am very grateful for those things, but I need to have like deep, soul-crushing, heart-wrenching prayers with God, prayers that may or may not involve tears, and probably not yelling, I don't really yell, but could involve yelling, but prayers that really bring me bare before God, and really cling to God as my rock. So that's what I've been learning recently, and Steve is going to share after me. Thank you.
Might be a little shorter than the other speakers, but
that's cool.
All right. Good morning, New Jersey Edge. When I was 18 years old, my doctor told me that the plates in my bones had fused already and that I would no longer be growing. I would forever be stuck at the height of 5'3.5". But thanks be to God, I found there is still another way I can grow, and that is spiritually. When I was first asked to share about how I've grown over this past year, I found that I couldn't narrow it down to just one particular area. Therefore, I decided I was going to share about multiple areas in which I've grown spiritually and just over this year. One area in particular I wanted to speak about was focus. I put that as my goal at the start of this year. And that entailed being more in tune to God, ruling over my thinking, setting my mind specifically on what God wanted me to do when I felt frustrated, and not letting the devil take control of my thinking. What I found was that being more focused, it helped me grow in other areas of my spiritual walk as well, such as obedience, stronger control in areas like purity, and increasing my knowledge, you know, being able to focus on my schoolwork and connect with what people are saying rather than diverge in my thoughts. When I hear growth, I think of trees, I think of plants, I think of agriculture outside. Growth is a natural process, but The thing growing can also be deliberately nurtured manually to grow and become stronger and greater than those around it. The Bible, Matthew 13, says that God's word is like a seed in each of our hearts, and over time it grows to be something of significance if we allow the right things to water and cultivate it. The Bible also states that when we are spiritually young, we crave spiritual milk, but when we're older, we require solid food. As I continue to grow, I'm beginning to see that I no longer require spiritual milk, but require real food to continue to develop as a strong Christian. And this realization is what has set upon me that I am to hold fast to those basic principles and differentiate myself from a newly Christian by growing in spiritual, new spiritual experiences and knowledge, such as speaking in front of crowds like this. I've seen myself grow. Just this January, I was in a predicament where I was not sure if I could climb my academic mountain laid before me. I had some what they call clinicals in the medical field, and I kept failing and having to retry it, and that was down to my last try. And 6 months later, I was able to complete it, and I've become a person. Thank you. I've become a person who can become more confident that I can do all things now through Christ. But this year is only halfway done, and I know I need to continue to stay focused and not let the devil take control of my life. Not giving into laziness, anger, selfishness, and other fleshly desires. By keeping the goal of being more focused, I remind myself to keep love, peace, patience, and long-suffering on my mind. My advice to you is that you can also continue to grow. Make every effort to grow into perfection. Whether it be growing in wisdom, self-control, or courage, you'll find you can be a better person than you were yesterday. Mm-hmm. But you need the right kind of nurturing and cultivating to be grown in the right direction, to be sturdy, to avoid being choked by thorns, as the scriptures say. As the year continues, I look forward to see how my growth will continue to progress. My plans are to still stay focused, and hopefully this will bring along more obedience and more knowledge. I encourage you all to take on new experiences and gain advice from those knowledgeable in the battle to help you grow. I'll share with you a scripture. 2 Peter 1:5-7 states, "For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love." I say this because it's just a good scripture, I feel, that us disciples can see that we do grow in multiple areas, and this is required. So I hope that all of you are growing in one, or at least one, if not all, of these areas, and are open to helping one another to grow as well. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name's Biju, and I'm going to be real with you tonight about how I've been growing this year, and hopefully it can help you. So this year's been a journey for me towards self-acceptance, which has progressed as I've continued to let go of pride. And so I was laid off in February after only being at my job for 3 months, and when I got the job, I celebrated the end of 3 years of, you know, temporary jobs and job hunting and finally having a permanent position. But after being laid off, I realized that I would be job hunting again. And on paper, you know, my resume, I'm a great candidate. I repeatedly have people telling me, "Oh, you're an engineer and you went to Stanford. You should have no problems finding a job." But I was. So that led me to conclude that the problem was me. And God's definitely used this time to refine me and help reveal some deep pain that only He can heal. And I'm a work in progress, and most of what I'm going to share has happened in the last month. And after following God for over 10 years, I think it's only now that I'm beginning to understand some basic truths and learning that I can't outsmart God, that His wisdom really does frustrate the intelligence of the intelligent, as it says in 1 Corinthians 1:9. And I thought that, you know, I had Christianity figured out, but something was missing, and I lacked the joy and closeness to God and faith that others expressed and that I saw described in the Bible. And I had made things complicated when God said we only need to have a simple faith, like children. And I thought I believed God's word, but I wasn't living like it was true for me. Instead, I was living by my own religion that wasn't based in the gospel of grace, but in my own beliefs. And in my world, I wasn't worthy of unconditional love, unless I did good things for others or I had great achievements. And this really began to eat away at me when I experienced continual rejection in my career and when I felt like I wasn't a fun, positive person to be around. It seemed like I couldn't even be myself because every word out of my mouth was negative and pushing people away. Who would want to be around me if I didn't even want to be around me? The hatred I had for myself began to grow, and it was a vicious cycle because it made it hard for me to be confident in interviews, so I would keep getting rejected from jobs. My head was filled with negative thoughts and so many ideas of what I should and shouldn't do. And I just wanted to turn my brain off and have peace. And this actually led to suicidal thoughts. In pride, I couldn't accept that God loved me for me. I thought I knew better than God and that I was the decider of who was worthy of love and it wasn't me. I blamed myself for being sinful and therefore unlovable. I remember looking in the mirror and struggling to say, "I love you." A few nights ago, in the depths of my emotional pain, when I couldn't see any purpose to life, God helped me to embrace His grace. It gave me purpose and freed me from the pain. I sat in bed and searched for one inherently good thing about myself, and that wasn't the result of anything I had done. And I realized that I was a walking miracle, and I went kind of tied it back to science, and I was like, the fact that I walk and I breathe is because of God, and I'm His wonderful creation. I realized that the problem was that I didn't believe God's word. And with humility, I can let go of my own beliefs and believe everything God says is true about me. This week, I read John 3:16, which we see all the time, and it had new meaning to me because I realized the implication of the word believe. To believe in Jesus is to believe everything He claims to be and accept His sacrifice truly does make us holy and blameless, as it says in Ephesians 1, verse 4. I cannot say that I believe Jesus and not accept God's grace. I am worth dying for. In my logic, grace doesn't make sense, but I can be humble and grateful that God's ways are not my ways. I want to continue growing in my trust in God's word this year and holding on to His promises.
Hello, everyone. I'm grateful to be here and to speak. Before, I didn't want to speak, but I had a vacation, I went to Paris, I came back. I felt rejuvenated, and I felt like God was telling me to speak, so I want to listen to Him. So, to follow Bijou, how I have grown this year is in my understanding of God's grace and taking the time to go deeper in my personal healing. This has been a very hard year for me. Past year, I've felt numb. I felt numb to society, to church, pushing God away. And beginning of this year, I just felt like, okay, I've had enough. And I felt God was telling me, you need to do something about this. I want to help you. Mm-hmm. And how it worked out this year so far is just beautiful. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have written it. It's all God. Mm-hmm. And I had a sister come and talk to me. Actually, the sister did, she spoke at a midweek, and her words just spoke to my heart. Mm-hmm. And when I came and I spoke to her, she said, you know, everything that I was saying to her, she said, because you're wounded. You're wounded inside. And so because of that, I decided to work on accepting God's grace, believing it for myself. I come from a performance-based mentality. So the culture around me sends a resounding message that I have to be perfect in all aspects of life, that I have to measure up to other people's standards. From family and friends, I internalized these pressures and created such a high standard for myself that caused anxiety and a sense of fear that I can't measure up. The pressure I put on myself and I felt from others influenced my need to become numb emotionally and spiritually. So when I started to study out grace, I opened up to a certain group of people, and they were able to help me. They created a safe environment for me. They listened to me, and they showed me kindness and unconditional love, which is very important. And because of that, I was able to be vulnerable. I was able to share the ugly, ugly parts of my past, parts of my sin, and things in my family that's going on in my life. And I was just welcome with all of my baggage and ugliness. I was welcome with open arms and hugs and just love, which just makes a difference. And when I studied out grace and understanding God and accepting it, God showed me that He's faithful and that no matter what I was doing before, He's brought me to this point because He's seen that I needed help and that I couldn't do it by myself and that I was blocking people and other people. So He worked His, I don't want to say magic, but you know, His will and His power to get me to where He wants me to be. And I am so grateful for it. I'm so grateful for His love, even though I didn't love myself or I pushed Him away consistently. You know, not reading and not really wanting to stay on the surface because it was just too much. And God's like, I'm here for you. I love you, and we're going to get through this together. And it's so amazing that I serve a God that loves me so much, you know? I can't take that for granted. And yes, I mess up every day, and I'm going to continue to mess up, but I'm so grateful that God is consistent and He never changes, and I can rely on Him always. So because of this and living in God's grace, I feel more free. I feel less anxious. I live by God's standards and get my confidence from Him. Amen. I enjoy life more. The reason why I went to Paris. I went camping Memorial Day weekend with a bunch of sisters, and we just went with no agenda in Massachusetts and just enjoyed nature, connected with God through nature. And quick story, there was a bunch of disciples from Massachusetts there, and we had like church service on Sunday, and we were singing a song, and I looked up and the trees were swaying. So they were enjoying the singing because once we stopped, the trees stopped swaying. Wow. And I felt like God was speaking to me different moments and showing me through His creation. I invested in my emotional, spiritual, and physical health. I started therapy. I talked to a bunch of sisters with my spiritual growth, and I go to a trainer that's helped me physically as well. Amen. And the other place I'm growing in because of grace is I'm setting boundaries for myself that I will not allow other people to cross or even myself. And how I continue to grow, although I have grown in a lot this year and learned many lessons, there are other areas I need to work on, but I'm taking it day by day and walking closely with God through it all. Amen. I'm not gonna rush myself. I'm not gonna beat myself up anymore. It's not worth it. God loves me regardless. And the scriptures that help me, Hebrews 4:16, Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So as I'm vulnerable with God and with others, he's able to work through me. Thank you.
Okay, guys, so what's poppin'? So my name is Cedric, and I've been a disciple for about 9 years now. And I just want to say, just everybody that shared, I'm just so amazed by your guys and you guys being fellow soldiers on the battlefield. And it's so great to have this, to see everybody dealing with stuff, right? But actually fighting back. So that's just been amazing. So I appreciate everybody sharing. And I'm also just grateful for the opportunity to share with you guys, but also extremely grateful just to be back officially in North Jersey, you know. I was gone for a minute, but not really. So it was kind of an awkward transition. And then I just moved right back. Last year, I actually got accepted into a program called NYC Teaching Fellows. And basically the point, it's like an alternative route to teaching. And it gives you the opportunity to basically, they pay for you to go to grad school. And you also get the opportunity to be a full-time teacher in New York. And so I was chosen to be a special education teacher to work with kids with special needs in the Bronx. And so I just love the Bronx. I love the BX, and it's been crazy. And just this whole year, I can't, you know, I'm very dramatic, but I can't tell you how this has been literally a movie that I've starred in. And it's just God is the director, and he's directing me as the actor on this stage called The World. And there's so many things that come with just my job, and there's so many things that just come with really serving the kids in the Bronx in the way that I've been forced to. And I've done so many, I've had like literally 10 jobs in the past 2 years, but I've done so many things and I realized that no job, right, has made me more like Christ than teaching those kids in the Bronx, who are my kids, who are like my babies, you know what I'm saying? I teach high school freshmen, so you know they're crazy. But I'm crazy too, so it works. But I think that just overall, my whole transition, you know, I left North Jersey because I was trying to be closer to the school in the Bronx. And so I actually was trying to go and adjust to the Bronx ministry, and no shade to them, it just wasn't a really good matchup. And it was very hard for me, you know, they're popping, but just not New Jersey popping. So I basically was like, you know, it's just not the same, God, it's just not the same. And then I just was like, but then am I just being a spoiled brat? Because I was so spoiled in North Jersey and I just love everyone. And now I'm in a, you know, so it just was a lot of things to consider. But I wanted to share something that I feel like is such a highlight of my growth this year that I'm still, like everybody said, please pray for me and ask me about this going forward. Because in my transition, I'm not even lying to you guys, every ministry I went to, some drama popped off with me. And it was so humbling because I feel like I prided myself off of having a certain reputation in the kingdom. And then going to the Bronx, something popped off with some brothers. Going to the Brooklyn church, something popped off with it. It's like everywhere I went, and it was just like, ooh, I don't know. Like my character's really being thrown out. And the brothers and sisters are really seeing Cedric, not for what they think Cedric is from North Jersey, but they're really seeing my real self. And so, what had happened was me, Lenz, and Karen and Joe went to go visit the Brooklyn church. And I said, oh, this is great because this could be a possible option for me. Let's see what's God. Love Brooklyn. They're lit. And so then when we were going there, we met up with Tim Austin and some other brothers and sisters. And we went to breakfast. And they were like, oh, Cedric, we're so glad you're. So they were just gassing it. And I was like, oh, they're so glad we're here. If you're looking for a ministry set, this might be the perfect place. There's a lot of artists here. Like, it's in Brooklyn. I know your school in the Bronx, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, wow, this really might be a good look. Like, I really think this is going to be a good fit. And so we get to the church. And so then Tim and them have a front row reserved for us. So it's like, we're like, wow, this is so great. And then everybody's like, oh, Cedric and them from North Jersey are here. And I'm like, yeah. I'm here. So I'm gassing myself like, yes, I made an appearance, but then it's literally like, you know, I said, you know, let's go to the bathroom first real quick. So me, Joe, and Karen, we go downstairs to the bathroom, we come back up, and a brother stops me, and he's like, excuse me, bro, we need you to actually take your hat off. We don't allow hats in the building, because it's a Seventh-day Adventist church that the Brooklyn Church rents, and, you know, they don't allow hats for that particular religious reason. And so I just was like, wait, what? You guys don't allow hats? And my hair underneath my cap? Because I literally have a couple different looks. And so one of my looks is my when I wear my beanie hat. And that was a part of my look for the day. And I just literally said, bro, I don't know if I could do that. And he was like, well, it's just a rule that, you know, you have to take your hat. Because we rent, and that's a part of our agreement with the church. And I said, I'm really uncomfortable, like literally, and this is, I'm going to be very vulnerable with you guys in this sharing, because I'm just trying to be as exposed as possible. That really triggered me. When I tell you the anxiety and my heart went in my throat, that's how serious my image is to me. And at that time, it shook me to the core. And I just told the brother, I can't do that. So are you guys going to kick me out? And he was like, well, we're not going to kick you out, but okay, just go to the front, but I want to talk to you about it after. I said, okay, bro, definitely. So then I was like, phew, okay. So, you know, I'm like, okay. You know, so I'm walking down the aisle like, hey, yes, what's poppin', yo? So then literally the service is going on and everybody's in the front singing, and then I just get back to my place next to Lens, and then we're just singing and dancing. And mind you, we're in the dead front, and this sister comes behind me. She's like, excuse me, you need to take your hat off right now. No, you need to take your hat off right now in front of everyone. So I literally was like, oh my gosh, sis, I talked to the bro, you know, he said it was okay. You know, she's like, no, this is the rules. You need to take your hat off right now in front of everyone in the Brooklyn church. And I literally was so embarrassed. I freaked out and I just said, I'm just gonna have to get my stuff and leave. So I grabbed my camera bag and I literally walked out, and she said, you have a nice day. I said, you know, God bless, sis. I just can't do this. And so this was really crazy for me, because it seems so trivial and it seems so petty, but my issues with my self-image, with my low self-esteem, run so deep for me that was a game-changing moment for me. I walked out, literally everybody was like, what just happened? I felt that here I am with this big ego, this big head, like I'm coming to the Brooklyn church. Cedric is making an appearance here. Roll out the red carpet. And I walk out like a complete loser, because I did not want to take off my hat because I didn't like the way my hair looked under my hat. And I just literally had all these thoughts racing through my head like, wow, people are going to see how shallow I am once word gets out of why I left. Because I don't know if everybody understood what happened, but I just felt so insecure, so scared to expose myself in that way because I care so much about my appearance. And then I literally went to this deli, sat there, and just literally felt so numb, felt so shaken. And then everybody's texting me, Cedric, where are you? What just happened? And I just told everybody, like, I'm very deeply insecure about my appearance. I did not feel comfortable taking off my hat. It's something that I really need to work on. I just could not bring myself to do that. Literally, Lens and Stephen Oguaya come to the deli and find me. And they have a sit down with me, and they're just like, said, I don't understand this. And even Stephen, who's known me for so long, I've talked in front of so many people, I've done so many things, but people who are my real best friends know how much I struggle with social anxiety, and I'm very, very self-conscious and in my head about a lot of things. And so Lens understood that, and he just said, you know, I think the deeper rooted issue is that, you know, you definitely do make things about yourself a lot, and you're not really looking at churches, you know, this is a time to worship God, and even though you might have thought people might have been wrapped up in your hairstyle, but nobody really cared, you know? So I just was like, really? Wait, are you for real? You know, but it was like, that was so real for me. And then I just told them, you know what, I just, guys, pray for me, because it's something really real. And, you know, I'm about to do this reality show that I'm on, and all this is going to be exposed. All this is going to be out. So people are going to know the real me, and I need prayers, and I need to consistently be checked on this. And so then after that, you know, we went out to eat, and we went after, and then everybody was like, oh, Cedric, I'm sorry that, you know, they were kind of trying to encourage me. And then later on, I just went and talked to all of my best friends who really know me about it. And I literally just broke down. I literally broke down because I feel like it was such a weak moment for me, but also such a game-changing moment. I think that my security sometimes can definitely lie in my appearance, it can lie in my talents, and it can lie in my abilities that are all God-given, but it's very real for me to get that confused. And it's very real for me to pride myself off of sand foundations versus actual solid rock foundations. And I had a conversation with my friends, and it just broke me what they said, because I said, you know, guys, I feel like in the kingdom, anywhere I've been my whole life, my talent, just my acting abilities, my music abilities, my appearance, this is what people like me for. This is what everybody loves me for. So if it's not on point, I don't think that I'm going to be loved. And sometimes that also translates to God. And so with that, literally, my friends just said something so powerful when we all met up. They're like, you know, Cedric, it's so funny that you think that we love you because you do music. You think that we really love you because of your hairstyles. You think that we really love you because of your appearance. We love you because of your heart and your heart for God. And that honestly broke me down. Because that was so real for me to hear that, because that's also how God feels about me. And I said, it's about your heart. It's always about your heart. And I wanted to share this scripture. It's, I'm being very, where's my phone? Oh. I'm just being very real with you guys because, you know, I do have shallow tendencies. I come from a performance background. I used to act, and everything is about your appearance. Everything is about your performance. Everything is about how you come across to other people. And when my friends had shared that with me, it was so on point. I love the message version of the scripture in 1 Samuel 16:7. Mm-hmm. But God told Samuel, looks aren't everything. Don't be impressed with his looks and stature. I've already eliminated him. God judges persons differently than humans do. Men and women look at the face, but God looks into the heart. And for me, that was such a staple, game-changing moment, because going forward from there, I said, you know what, guys, you will never catch me slipping like that ever again. Because that was such a hard lesson to take. So public. Very public, because it was right in the front of the church, right? And everybody, we laugh about it. All my people in Brooklyn, we laugh because like everyone said, we laugh because he couldn't take off his hat. But it's like they understand how deep that was for me. So they respect that, though. And I just respect having friends that literally were able to point me to what's really important and what God always focuses on. And I definitely want to lift those people up now, because Mariah has been so great in really helping me understand to really love myself, which I didn't realize I can instill so much confidence in so many other people. That's like what I'm known for. That's like my thing. I like to be an encouraging person to every single other person, but I have such low self-esteem myself. I also wanted to lift up Nick, one of my great friends, who's always pointing me back to like, your confidence doesn't come from the outside. It comes from the inside, Cedric. It comes from your relationship with God. And so that's also been tremendously helpful. And then Juan Diego, who's like my secret weapon. That's like my, Juan, what do I do? you know, it's just like, Juan, you don't even understand the wisdom that God has just blessed you with. And it really is God speaking through you every single time. But I'm extremely, extremely grateful for just you always pointing me back to what's important as well. And just being someone that I can really share stuff with and just be totally open. So yeah, I just wanted to share that with you guys, because that is a major growth for me. And you know, I definitely still need people to always check me about it. And you know, it's funny because me and Fabiola, who also encouraged me about it one time, because, you know, even with sisters, you know, I try to do my, you know, and I sometimes struggle even there, because I'm like, I'm not trying to woo a sister by my physical appearance either. And Fabs really checked me on that when I'm in the car that time. And I was just like, but no, Fabs, I got to come correct, because, you know, that's important. And she was just like, no, like a sister, whatever you look like, the sister will love you for who you are, period. You know, and that's just for all of us to be encouraged. So thanks again. Okay. Thanks, guys.